I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
If we can revive that dream over group identity and victimhood and grievance, then nobody in the world, not a nation, not a corporation, not a virus, not China, is going to defeat us. That is what American exceptionalism is all about. That is what we are going to revive to, yes, make America great again. Vote for this man right here in the New Hampshire primary. God bless you and your families, and may God bless our United States of America. Thank you, New Hampshire. It's good to see you guys. We're coming back and winning this in a landslide. We will not stop until we get this job done. Thank you all. God bless you and your families.
Vivek Ramaswamy throwing all of his support and his supporters, if they will follow him, to Donald Trump after the Iowa caucus, and Trump coming out really big in that caucus, 50%. Ramaswamy didn't even place in it. Nikki Haley and DeSantis, we'll get to them a little bit later, but they're far, far behind, 30 percentage points minimum. But here was Vivek, and he had already announced yesterday that I am going to support, in fact, he announced it after the Iowa caucus, I'm going to support Donald Trump. He said, there are only two of us in this race that are really for Make America Great Again. And he looked at himself as being one and Donald Trump being the other. Now, I want to make it clear to you. I do like a lot of things Governor DeSantis has done in Florida. I think he can help this nation. I don't know if it's going to be his time. Nikki Haley, I do have respect for on various levels, but there are also some drawbacks. But this is going to be your decision, but it's important that you take part in it. Don't sit aside and think, because if you are a Trump fan, that Trump's going to run away with the GOP nomination. And then don't sit home during the general election if indeed he's carrying the Republican banner. Do not sit home and do nothing, saying they don't need my vote. We want every vote. And keep in mind, it's not just the presidential race we're talking about. We're talking about all members of Congress who are up for re-election, as they are every 2 years. We must hold the House in Republican hands to continue the investigations already underway that would involve Hunter Biden. And, of course, the impeachment efforts against Mayorkas and others yet to come. And Dr. Fauci, which we're going to deal with later. And we also need to get control of the Senate. You can have the House controlled by Republicans, even if it's a slim margin. If they all go along and finally find things where they can work together, you can get things done. But when it comes to impeachment, you have to also send that to the Senate, as you do everything else, but particularly impeachment. If you don't have that controlled by Republicans, you may not get the Senate votes you need from Democrats. But all of these that are up for re-election right now, they're facing some difficult circumstances. Why? Because of Joe Biden and his politics. It comes down to that, as simple as that. All right, thanks for joining us. Let me set the stage for you. Here we are, January 17, 2024, and this is the first hour of Larry Connors USA Back to Back, reminding you every day when we're on the air for you, Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m., we are streaming video for you at News Talk STL Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, Larry Connors USA Facebook, Twitter, Rumble. If you miss anything, you can always go and pull it up at LarryConnorsUSA.com. You can get the video, you can get the audio. You can do the same at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Only asking to remember LCUSA, LCUSA, Larry Connors USA. And I appreciate your support. I see more and more of you are sharing, by the way, once you watch. Thank you. You again, you're like little multipliers all around me. You just keep multiplying, multiplying. Thank you very much for doing so. So let's go back to Vivek on his remarks last night in New Hampshire with Trump standing to the side watching. When Trump introduced him, he said, this guy's got a lot of good things going for him. He started with nothing, and look where he is now. And now he's coming to us, and he's going to be with us a long time, a long time. Now, he did not specify if he's talking about on the presidential campaign moving forward. He did not specify in the Trump administration. He also did not broach the subject about vice presidency. But the weight of Vivek Ramaswamy, since he first appeared on the scene, has been shattering, clearly. I mean, everybody loved it. I don't care if you were a Trump supporter or DeSantis, Haley, Chris Christie. Good God, there's one to support. Anyway, when Vivek went after in the first debate, turned his attention on the media and said, you are responsible for these lies, lies, lies. I'm going to call you out. Are you going to answer? I mean, you could not help but applaud. So now that fire from Vivek is focused on raising Donald Trump even higher.
You know this man. You know why we're here. Patriots across the state. We are in the middle of a war in this country. That's what this is. It's not a war between black and white. It's not between Democrat and Republican, even in a deeper sense. It's between the permanent state and the everyday citizen. Between those of us who love the United States of America and a fringe minority who hates this country and what we stand for. And right now we need a commander-in-chief who will lead us to victory in this war. That's what we need in this country. You got to know you're in a war to win one. You can't win one if you're asleep at the switch, have your head stuck in the sand like most Republicans. And I think that's going to require somebody who isn't bought and paid for, a businessman, not a politician.
Not a politician. And Trump has never been really a politician. That's why he does blow things up sometimes, which I wish he wouldn't. But you look at what he accomplished business-wise for the nation. You cannot deny those facts. And then, of course, we have another response I want to share with you. This is from Jamie Dimon. He's the CEO of Morgan Chase, J.P. Morgan. Big, big, obviously, the biggest. Jamie Dimon is at the Davos, Switzerland Economic Forum, where they're discussing all kinds of things, including disease X, as we discussed the other day, that whatever it is, it's going to be another type COVID thing that could be killing 10 to 20 times as many as COVID did. But he also was focusing on politics in an interview with Fox News Channel today, or Business Channel, and he wanted to spend some time on Donald Trump, his supporters, and his detractors.
I wish the Democrats would think a little more carefully when they talk about MAGA, you know, and you, if you travel this country, you know, and the country's unbelievable. We took our bus trip this year, and Leslie Pigor was on Spokane and Boise and Bozeman. People are growing. They're hungry to grow. They're innovating. It's everywhere. It's not just Silicon Valley. So we've got this great hand. But when people say MAGA, they're actually looking at people voting for Trump, and they think they're voting, and they're basically scapegoating them, that you are like him. But I don't think they're voting for Trump because of his family values.
Thanks. Quentin was reminding that it's actually CNBC, but you heard what he's saying. You got to consider what the values are. That brings me to something I want to start pushing. I am going to start pushing this. You can help me. We can do it virally, or we can do it just in bars and when you stop for a break in your poker action or whatever you're doing. The left loves beating Republicans, Trump supporters, or even those who really don't support Trump but support this country. They love shouting MAGA, MAGA extremist. MAGA is Make America Great Again. Do you not want America to be great again? I do. I do. You don't like the term? Fine. But do you want America great again? Well, I'm going to counter MAGA with, here it comes. This, you don't know how big this one's going to get. Believe me, this one could knock you off the road. It could be a wind. It could be a storm. It could be torrential, catastrophic events. But I'm moving. You want to call us out as MAGAs? Here's what you guys are. You're BAGA, BAGA, Biden against a great America, BAGA. We're going to turn MAGA people out, and we're going to shout out BAGA to to Biden. Biden against a great America. And that's what we're seeing right now from this administration from day one. And they will continue if they get the opportunity. Let's go back to Vivek last night talking about the issues facing our nation.
We've been celebrating our diversity and our differences for so long that we forgot all of the ways that we are the same as Americans, bound by that common set of ideals that set this country into motion. We believe those ideals still exist. This man is going to be your next president to revive them. E pluribus unum, from many, one. And you know how we're doing it? We're doing it by speaking the truth at every step of the way. There are two genders in this country. Period. That is the truth. Fossil fuels are a requirement for human prosperity. Drill, frack, burn coal, embrace nuclear energy. Reverse racism is racism. An open border is not a border. Parents determine the education of their children. The nuclear family is the greatest form of governance known to mankind. Capitalism lifts us up from poverty. There are three branches of government in the United States, not four. And the U.S. Constitution is the strongest and greatest guarantor of freedom in human history. That is the truth.
That is the truth. The U.S. family has been decimated over the last decades. And part of it could be traced all the way back to President Johnson and the Great Society, an effort to lift the poor and help them. And believe me, I remember that time happening. And it was to start with giving meals to kids in school because they were not getting them at home. And I'm not against that. And I'm for helping those who really need a hand up. Not to support them forever, but give them a chance up. It is back to that adage, you give a man a fish one day, well, that's what he's got for that day. But if you teach him to fish, then he will never go hungry again. He'll be able to do it on his own. We fell from the beginning of something that could be really good. And even FDR, I know some of you won't like this, but even FDR with his workfare program, WPP projects, that was beneficial to the nation and for Americans. They were working to earn that. And then the Great Society was not meant to be a forever give out. But then there were stipulations involving adults in a family. And if the man was there, well, then the woman could not get the child support she needed. So it was all screwed up then. And from then on, we began raising generations on the government teat. But there are a lot of families out there. And we're not talking about color here. We're talking about your economic stratus. There are a lot of couples, or rather groups out there that still did the best they could. It wasn't easy. My dad worked in the oil field. I'm redneck, Texas oil field, and I'm proud of it. And we often had for meals, brown beans, some would call them red beans or pinto beans, and cornbread. I thought it was great. I didn't think we were poor. By standards of others, we weren't poor, but we certainly were far from even middle class at that point. But Dad's attitude is, you just keep working, you'll get what you deserve. And he raised a family of four. And you probably have similar stories. I'm sure you do. Immigration is a major issue. And it's not a good issue for Democrats this time around at all. Never has really been, not the way they're doing it. And, of course, we have the efforts underway to impeach DHS Secretary Mayorkas. And Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan had some questions for the former ICA Deputy Director Tom Holman.
Judiciary Committee, Mr. Jordan from Ohio.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Holman, Mr. Beer said that everything is wonderful in the Biden administration when it comes to the border. I think he said in his opening statement they are rebuilding the system. They're pulling it back from the brink. Do you agree with that assessment that Mr. Beer has of the Biden administration?
Absolutely not. They tore down the system.
You know who else? You know who else disagrees with him? Democrat mayors. Democrat mayors in sanctuary cities. It's amazing to me that these sanctuary cities are sanctuary cities until it's actually time to provide sanctuary. But they disagree with him as well. So you said earlier, both you and Mr. Edlow, you said this is by design. This is intentional. I mean, and you see, basically, I think if I got it right, you said three main things. Stop building the wall, get rid of Remain in Mexico, and release people when they get here. And that incentivizes people to come from, I think you said, 181 countries come to the border. Because they know there's no wall to get over, there's no wait in Mexico, and they're going to get released to wherever they want to go. Is that right?
Absolutely. The first few days in office, President Biden signed over 90 executive orders abolishing all the policies that were proven effective.
Proven effective. He did. He wiped them out. Just like a kid being sent to the blackboard to wipe the board clean. He did. Speaker Mike Johnson has been signaling that a potential border bill is probably going to be a no-go for House Republicans because of the Senate GOP. Johnson told his members on a conference call, the border cannot be secured without a Republican in the White House. So he was pressing that again today. Senators, according to The Hill, just aren't taking his warning at face value. According to three Senate GOP sources, Johnson backtracking on several items since he became Speaker in late October is giving them hope about an eventual border bill. One Senate GOP aide said, we can't take Johnson fully at his word. That involved partly the FISA bill, but beside that, Johnson is saying that we need to do a better job than what we're doing. And he's saying now is the time to do it. And he said now is not the time for comprehensive immigration reform. And Tom Holman, I identified him earlier as former deputy ICA director. It's ICE director. ICE director Tom Holman. He said, aside from all this talk about immigration reform and everything else, we are being chastised for doing our duty.
I want to address one thing real quick.
Sure.
I'm sick and tired of people in Congress talking about xenophobic and racist policy of the Trump administration. We enforce the law. If I'm a racist, what's that make Congress? They wrote the law. We're not making this up. We're enforcing laws enacted by Congress. Second of all, about the family separation thing, because
sure.
Talking about tearing babies out of mothers' arms. I'm the only one in this room who's been on that border. I'm the only one that's interviewed girls as young as 9 years old, been raped multiple times. You look in their eyes and they're dead. Their souls are gone. They have every ounce of what they think is humanity is gone because they were raped numerous times by criminal cartel members. I stood them back to a tractor trailer with 19 dead migrants at my feet, including a 5-year-old little boy. I've seen many dead bodies on the border. I've been down there numerous times this past year where border police are giving CPR to an infant child 6 months old. I've seen border patrol agents, heroes, patriots, who jump in the river with 60 pounds of gear and put their lives on the line to save lives.
Sobering words, aren't they? Next hour, politics and illegal immigration is seen through the eyes of a New York Times columnist. That's next hour. Before this hour is over, new China research that makes previous COVID research look like child's play. It is frightening. And the Iranian issue is getting bigger. My guest will break it down for us. Lock and load, ready, on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive-bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue. Especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings, to mold, to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930, wellingtonstl.com, Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer, Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C, and it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails, and of course Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton, and I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. The situation in the Middle East, while we try to keep it tapped down, continues to flare up and expand. Obviously, we have Israel still hunting down to destroy Hamas inside Gaza. We still have Hezbollah firing on Israel as well. And, of course, we have Yemen rebels, the Houthi rebels, I should say, in Yemen that are firing upon the ships, both merchant and military, around the Red Sea area as they go into the Gulf of Aden or leave there. And then now we have a situation where Iran has apparently carried out an airstrike inside Pakistan. Wow, we need to break this down, and I've got the perfect person for it. Fred Flights, Vice Chair of the American First Policy Institute, Center for American Security, previously Chief of Staff, Executive Secretary of the National Security Council under Trump, former CIA analyst, news commentator, 25 years with the CIA, Defense Intel, Department of State. Fred Flights, welcome back aboard, sir.
Good to be here, Larry.
So let's break this down. First of all, Iranian airstrikes into Pakistan, deadly, killing two children at least, and Pakistan said that's unprovoked violation of our airspace. What's going on in that part of the issue?
Well, the Iranians conducted several airstrikes this week. They shot missiles into Pakistan, apparently at groups who are basically terrorists who are trying to attack or overthrow the Iranian regime. Americans now realize that Iran has its own terrorist problem. Not only does it sponsor terrorist groups, there's terrorist groups, Sunni groups, and the Iranians are Shiites, who don't like the Iranian regime. And they also fired missiles into Iraq, not just at a so-called Israeli spy base and maybe at a U.S. consulate, but they also fired missiles this week at an ISIS compound in Iraq. So the Iranians have been quite busy this week, and they greatly offended the governments of Iraq and Pakistan for firing missiles into their countries. And I think they also fired attack drones at the Erbil air base in Iraq, where Erbil airport, where there is an American base, and probably those attack drones are targeting U.S. troops. So, really, they're escalating quite a bit this week.
And we're talking about coming direct from Iran, not some of their proxies elsewhere doing it. Am I correct?
That's right. That's why this is so extraordinary, because there are at least two instances this week where it appears that missiles and drones were fired from Iran at Americans at an American consulate at an American base, in addition to an Israeli target and supposed terrorist groups.
Well, Biden the other day took action against some of the Houthis in Yemen and struck some of those targets. And we've been saying, you know, there's a thin line, obviously. What do you do that you can get their attention and yet make them stop it without suddenly exploding into World War III? But you and I have discussed this before. You know, many are saying, I remember four-star retired General Jack King saying, we've got to start hitting targets in Iran. Where are you on that at this point?
Well, the Biden administration seems surprised that after they hit 60 targets at 16 sites in Iraq, in Yemen, with British and American forces, and then the next day the U.S. hit more, the Houthi rebels kept firing missiles, and they fired a missile at a U.S. Navy ship. They hit a U.S.-owned cargo vessel. I think they were just surprised that the Houthis weren't deterred. Well, the reason they're not deterred, Larry, is because American credibility has suffered so badly under Biden. The Houthis are not afraid of us under Biden. The Iranians aren't afraid of us under Biden. That's why these provocations continue. That's why they didn't stop after these attacks. And I think they're going to continue. And the Iranians know no one's going to do anything to them. But concerning attacking Iran, I don't know whether the time has come to do that, but I don't want the United States attacking Iran unless there's a vote in Congress. That's an act of war, a very serious act of war. And I'm tired of presidents going around the Congress and doing things like this, committing acts of war that Congress has the right to declare war. It doesn't have to be a declaration of war, but there should be some kind of a vote authorizing the president to take action against Iran. I'm an America First conservative. America First means we try to keep our forces out of unnecessary wars, use military force prudently. That means Congress has to be on board.
Well, anytime bombs are dropping and rockets being fired, your basic effort at being an ambassador and diplomatic efforts have failed.
That's right. If we have to bomb something, that means diplomacy has failed. And why did the Houthis get involved in this dispute with Israel? I think the Iranians put them up to it. I think if there had been some type of substantial and successful diplomacy with the Houthis, and there has been through the UN, which stopped the civil war in late 2022, maybe they wouldn't have gotten involved. But whether the Biden administration has done anything with the Houthis since 2021, I think we'll find the record is pretty poor.
Well, we are just thankful that so far we have had no American deaths. We did have some casualties, and the numbers were originally 20, then up to 40, and some might be massive head traumas. So we don't know if those soldiers are fully active anymore in their normal life, much less on duty. So I still worry about what's being kept from the American public. And I'm for keeping a lid on things that would give away something to the enemy we don't want. But the American people need to know where we stand.
There's been over 120 attacks by rockets and mortars on U.S. bases in Iraq and Syria since October 7th. And as you said, you know, dozens of Americans have suffered injuries, apparently mostly concussions. We really don't know how serious those injuries are or how many there have been. And the Biden administration's response has been very weak. They've mostly attacked empty buildings. And that is not sending a message to these. And they were attacked by Iranian-backed militias. That's not sending a message to Iran that we will do anything to stop these attacks.
I've got several roads I want to go down through, but let me hit this one first. We have not had a chance to talk since our defense secretary disappeared for several days and no one knew. And, second day's in the hospital from the emergency surgery, then he lets his deputy know, then tells, oh, you don't need to come. And it was 2 days after that supposedly Biden was told, another day after that before other members of the Department of Defense and Congress were told. What the hell happened?
When I was chief of staff of the National Security Council, John Bolton spoke to the defense secretary and the secretary of state every day. They had breakfast most days. The president spoke to the secretary of defense almost every day. The fact that he was missing and no one noticed, it isn't just a failure on the part of the secretary of defense, which it is.
Yeah.
But it makes me wonder how often the national security advisor and the president even speak to the Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, that's frightening. Boy, that opens up so many nightmares. I'll never sleep again. Now let's get back. Let's get back to the issue with Iranian hitting targets like in Pakistan and Iraq. So they have their own religious war, just like we have between Hamas terrorists and Israel. And we have the Shia and the Sunnis on one side or the other. We understand that. Are we trying to capitalize on that for a while? We're using some of the Kurds to help carry some out, right?
I don't think so. I think these groups hate the U.S. also. I mean, ISIS is one of them. ISIS blew up that memorial to Soleimani in early January, and we're not going to work with ISIS on anything because ISIS would just assume, blow things up in the United States and in Israel. It's just an enemy that hates both the U.S. and Iran.
All right, going back to, you said you'd like to see some congressional approval go against Iran. Would you say what we've done against Yemen at this point has been out of line and should have been going through Congress first?
I there are people who've argued that. I don't think so, because this was self-defense. And this was a terrorist group that had fired missiles at American ships and allied shipping. You know, maybe I'm splitting hairs there, but I didn't see the designation as necessary there. But I think an attack on Iran is a very serious matter, and it might be justified. But I think if we do that, we have to get some kind of vote in Congress.
I'm not trying to make you out as a hawk or a dove, but you certainly know better than I do the connections between Iran and all these rebels. Even if their thumbprint's not actually on that rocket, we know where they got it and the money.
And it might be necessary that the U.S. will have to engage in a very substantial set of airstrikes against Iran. That might be necessary. But we have to have Congress behind the president when he makes that decision. This is a nation developing nuclear weapons. It has the largest missile arsenal in the Middle East. If we're going to go to war with them, and this would be an act of war, let's have bipartisan support for the action.
Give me a quick reminder of where we stood when Bush moved forward with shock and awe.
Both operations against Iraq by both presidents Bush had, the elder and the junior had congressional approval. And, there are Democrats who voted for both of them. Some wish they hadn't. And that is what we would have to do here. It wasn't a declaration of war. It was a authorization for the use of force.
All right, that's what I want to clarify in the last 30 seconds. You're talking about what you want to at least see them give, not a declaration of active war, but a declaration that you're free to begin some action.
I'm sort of open to how it's done. Some type of informal vote of approval would be fine. It would be enough for me, but there has to be some type of action by Congress to show that they're behind the president. And we know not everyone in Congress will be. Rand Paul never will be. There's people on the far left who never will be. But I think when America does something like this, Congress has to endorse it in some way.
Fred, as always, I appreciate your expertise, and I know the audience loves it as well. Thank you, sir.
Great to be here. Thanks.
We'll do it again. Fred Flights, currently vice chair of the America First Policy Institute, Center for America. You heard him mention Rand Paul. Well, you're going to hear from Rand Paul coming up in a moment, because Dr. Fake is facing obviously more scrutiny, but there's something China is doing right now that makes COVID look like child's play. Frightening as hell. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270, new specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com, locally owned.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
More than 100 times during closed-door testimony yesterday, he told lawmakers that he did not recall important information and conversations relevant to the origins of COVID-19 and the U.S. pandemic response that he presided over.
Who does that remind you of? Kind of reminds you of Bill Clinton a little bit. I don't recall. And then he gets into the definition of what is gain-of-function is. What is the definition of gain-of-function? Everything's parsing words when he can remember, and most of the time, if it's an important question, he can't remember. But he did admit that, you know what? He approved all of the research, but he didn't read or review any of it, and he doesn't know how or what process there is for having oversight for foreign research, like the research that went on in Wuhan. It's amazing.
And in fact, Senator Rand Paul again said, I think Dr. Fauci, should go to jail. And I agree. That's still part of the investigation that needs to be carried out by a legitimate Department of Justice, not being weaponized for political purposes. And you're never going to get to that unless you have, it doesn't have to be Republicans in control, but you have to have people that agree that there is justice for everybody and everybody is accountable. You don't get to get a pass simply because, oh, now he's saying in the last testimony, his closed door hearing the other day, that I don't remember the earlier times of COVID, really. Fauci obviously has clashed with Rand Paul numerous times. But again, Senator Rand Paul said for his dishonesty, frankly, he should go to prison. Do you think the scientific knowledge that was gained from this research was worth the deaths of 20 million people? And keep in mind, the General Government Accountability Office issued a report in June of last year that found the National Institutes of Health, under the direction of Dr. Fake, I'm going to stick with it, Dr. Fake, contributed more than $1.4 million to Chinese research institutes between 2014 and 2019, despite serious biosafety concerns. Concerns, I'd say biosafety hazards. Anyway, in including those at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I want to make something very clear. I have agreed that we need to know something about these viruses that are out there. So if they are weaponized against Americans, we have a way to fight back. But you do not give money and help and aid and comfort to the enemy, in this case China, so they can use your money to develop something to use against you. It's as simple as that. And now comes this word. This from the New York Post. There are other stories linked to it as well, but I'm going to cite them as the source I'm using primarily for you. Always try to give you a source so you can check it, verify it. If you have any questions about it, please look it up. Here's the lead. Chinese lab crafts mutant COVID-19 strain with 100% kill rate and humanized mice. And they say surprisingly rapid death. Again, this is another Wuhan-type study. Chinese scientists experimenting with a mutant of COVID-19 that is 100% lethal when they use it against mice that had been, quote, humanized, basically their brains reflecting genetic makeup of people. This is a study out of Beijing. The deadly virus known as GXP2V also underscores a spillover risk, if it's even in animals, into humans. And the authors say it includes a unique model for understanding the pathogen mechanisms of SARS-CoV-2-related viruses. But they're working on this coronavirus cousin, first discovered in Malaysia back in 2017, 3 years before the official pandemic. In pangolins, they're also considered scaly anteaters, mammals found in parts of warmer areas of the planet. All the mice infected with that virus died within just 8 days. Researchers said that was a surprisingly rapid death rate. It infected the lungs, bones, eyes, trachea, brains of the mice, the last of which was severe enough to ultimately cause their death once it got to the brain. In the days before the deaths, the mice quickly lost weight, had a hunched posture, and moved extremely sluggishly, as reported in this New York Post article, quoting again a research paper out of Beijing. And they said, most eerily of all, the eyes of these mice turned completely white the day before they died. And all of the infected mice died, as I said, within 8 days. Now, there's nothing in the study to actually indicate how it would affect human beings. But they're still screwing around with this kind of crap. And I don't expect they're doing it to make things better for their people. I expect they're looking at what we can do to destroy any enemy we have. I pointed out to you numerous times, and I've had experts on confirm the same thing, and that is that the greatest collection of genetic material is in China. You send off because you want to find out your family tree. I understand that. You send it to a company in the U.S. They, in turn, often will either send it to a Chinese chemist group to consider, or that company in the U.S. is actually already linked to China anyway, and you have no way of really knowing. So you just passed off your DNA material and information to China. There's an epidemiology expert in London, and he says this result of research, I should say, underway right now in China, where they're looking on this enhanced COVID that could kill at a faster rate. He said the research is, quote, and I'm using his words, terrible, significantly, totally pointless. I can see nothing of vague interest that could be learned from force-infecting a weird breed of humanized mice with a random virus. Conversely, I could see much stuff might go wrong. He said this does not specify the biosafety level, the biosafety precautions used during the research, and he's actually looked at the research papers. He said the absence of this information raises the concerning possibility that part or all of this research, like that took place in Wuhan, which likely caused COVID-19 pandemic, was performed without the minimal biosafety contaminant and practices essential for research with potential pandemic pathogens. Rutgers University professor of chemistry was asked, what do you say about the London professor's view? And he answered one word, concur. Concur. I agree with everything he said. A retired professor of medicine at Stanford wrote, his quote here, this madness must be stopped before too late. Let that settle in. And pray it's not the last words you think before you die of this new COVID-enhanced version. This madness must be stopped before maybe you won't be able to finish the last two words. Now, they're saying that the study does not appear, this is coming from China. Are you going to believe this crap? It does not appear to have any ties to China's Wuhan Institute. My butt, you know damn well it does. They move it somewhere else, rename it, maybe new people, maybe not. We don't know what they're doing other than putting out this information indicating, and why would they put it out? Would they put it out because they want to alarm us and remind us that, hey, don't get nasty with us. We had things we could use. Is that the purpose? Is it to say, look, we're looking into this in case it ever happens, we can help you? Right. I don't want any more pharmaceuticals from China. I don't want us having to rely on China. U.S. intel agencies say they found no direct evidence that the Wuhan lab actually linked the coronavirus. That's still the official position, though they did not rule out the possibility. So in the final summation right now, the origin of COVID, quote, is still unclear. Well, here's what we do know. Americans died, and around the world we had deaths. And in some cases, they were denied maybe something that would have helped them because Donald Trump suggested it. And simply because he said, you know, maybe ivermectin would work for some, maybe a couple others that would work, but you were denied a chance to get it. And you were mocked by the same scientists like Dr. Fake, who now says, even the distancing steps that you saw at various counters, if you walked up 8 feet apart, 6 feet, whatever it was, he said that was not even based in science. Well, then why the hell were we pushed onto it? Because like sheep, we were just willing to accept it. Yeah, there was fear in the beginning. This time around, let's don't fall back into fear mode. And unfortunately, I'm fearing there will be another time. Back to U.S. politics for a moment as we wrap up. And the GOP race, the New Hampshire primary is next Tuesday. Trump going into the primary is a major winner, 50%. Nikki Haley said something the other night at the end of the Iowa caucus meetings that sparked some social media questions like, what is she drinking? That's coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, They pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I can safely say tonight Iowa made this Republican primary a two-person race.
A two-person race? Not exactly. I mean, the Iowa caucus, that was Nikki Haley after the Iowa caucus the other night. She considered it to be a two-person race. Vivek had already, basically, he was done. Asa, others, all out. So it was Trump, DeSantis, and Haley. But out of the Iowa caucus, if you're just going to say a two-person race, if you look at the top two, that would be obviously Trump at 51%, DeSantis 21.2%, Nikki at 19.1%. So some are saying, what do you mean a two-person race? Unless you're also saying DeSantis and Trump. But that's not what you're saying. Saying me and Trump face-to-face. ABC was going to host a debate, but Haley said, I'm not going to take part in it if Trump's not going to be there. And Trump said, I'm not going to be there until we're down to just one person. Not going to happen. Not going to get in the mud with either one of them. So now we see what it comes up with New Hampshire next week. Now here's some news that is frightening just in the way it is written. This is from Politico. End of era. Who comes after Kerry? Scares the hell out of me. That's John Kerry they're talking about. He is now stepping aside, of course, from his position on energy thing at age 80, planned to step down after 3 years as the nation's top climate diplomat. Politico points out it was a role he seemed to relish and help transform. So his successor will be hard-pressed to replicate his versatility, though experts say Kerry's tenure provides a helpful blueprint on what kind of leader is needed to fill that role. I would say it tells you exactly what you should not have. Kerry the other day walking down the street, he's at Davos, Switzerland, for their big gathering, which he goes to every year. And a German reporter is asking him some questions and asks, how do you explain your carbon footprint to come here all the time on your private jet? He said, what? You have a carbon footprint. Why are you making the peasants suffer and you are flying around in your jet? That's pretty much the question. And Kerry said, don't stop and ask me a stupid question. I don't consider it so stupid. Why does he consider it stupid? Because it would be embarrassing to admit his carbon footprint for his private jet. Oh, I'm sorry. He wants to say again, I don't really own a jet. It's my wife's. That makes you even less of a man in my eyes when you take that route. And this time, I don't know if he used her jet or a U.S. jet because he has position with the government where he could. It's a cabinet position that basically was put together by Biden. Did not need Senate approval. He just created it. And by the way, one other thing coming out of Davos, Switzerland right now, Secretary Blinken has been there. He was getting ready to leave on a Boeing jet. They had to switch planes. There was a pressurization problem with that Boeing. That's not good news for Boeing. Coming up in the next hour, the eyes of immigration, illegal immigration, is seen through the eyes of a New York Times columnist. You don't want to miss it. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.